Well, this week, I had the opportunity to read some of the biography of Steve Jobs. He's the founder and CEO of, former CEO of Apple Incorporated, as many of you know. And Steve died last month at the age of 56 years old. Steve was a real innovator. I'm sure you're all aware of the iPod and the Mac and the iPad. And all of those devices. But he's also responsible, you may not know this, for some really cool animated films like Toy Story and what are some of the ones? Monsters, Inc. that came from Pixar. All of those stories, they basically would not have probably happened without Steve Jobs. And it's an interesting story how that came about, but I'm not going to get into that. Well, his story is intriguing to me because I've been a follower of computer and electronic technology from when I was a kid. And I remember the Apple II computer that was probably one of the first big hits that he had developed, that Apple II. How many of you had an Apple II? Oh, I see some hands out there. Yes, all right. I had a Commodore 64, so it was better. But anyway. But I remember that, and I remember following some of the things that he developed through the years, back in the early 80s. But you know, reading the book, from what I read in there, he was a challenging person to work with, very opinionated, and pretty much a control freak, kind of like to really control everything that went on in his company, and that got him into some trouble. He got kicked out of Apple for a while and then actually ended up going back there again. So, but he was a challenging person to work with. But he really made some cool devices, and I have to admire the functionality and the appeal of those devices that he's developed. I got on the Apple website this week, and there were over 1 million personal tributes to Steve Jobs on the website that came in through email. 1 million personal tributes. And it was interesting to read through those tributes and see how Steve Jobs had impacted people's lives. So I was wondering this morning, what will people say about you? Will you have 1 million tributes on, I don't know, your website someday? And if you did, what would people write there? What are the things that they would say, how you've impacted their life or how you've impressed them with your life? What would they say? I wonder about my children sometimes. What will they do? What will they accomplish in life? What down the road, 20 years down the road, what will they be doing? What are the things that they'll have done? And how about you? What are you accomplishing? And what will the tributes say at the end of your life? And that was supposed to be this slide. I keep forgetting these slides. Well, today we're finishing our look at the life of Moses. And I had to ask this same question. What is it about Moses that is important to finish with? How would you summarize his life? What tribute would you give to Moses? Now, of course, we think of those great miracles like the plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea and those kinds of things come to mind, and they should. But when we read the verses that close the chapter in Moses' life, those things are mentioned. However, we also discover in these verses, and I consider it to be a eulogy, a short but telling description of Moses that underlies all other things. So I'd like you to turn with me to that passage. It's found in Deuteronomy, not a book we turn to often, chapter 34. And this gives the account of Moses' death. And as we read part of this account, I want you to think again about your own life. And how would your own life be summarized in just a few sentences? What do you think? What words would people use? What would they say about you? And here's a few sentences that were said about Moses. And I'm going to read verses 10 to 12. Deuteronomy 34, 10 to 12. Says, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Now, you may be wondering, what am I focusing on in this passage? What is it that struck me? And I want to show that to you. It's this section right here. And I believe this is the most important section of this eulogy. This little part right here at the beginning. I believe it's put at the beginning for a reason. Whom the Lord knew face to face. Now, let's jump back to Exodus 33. Verse 11, it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Think about that. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend or a person speaks with his friend. And we can think of instances where God did that, right? Right at the beginning, the burning bush, right? Pretty amazing situation where Moses is out in the wilderness and this burning bush, he sees it from a distance, he goes over and God speaks to him out of the burning bush. We see that on top of Mount Sinai and in the tent of meeting that Moses would go and meet with the Lord in the tabernacle. It says that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And I can't quite get over that picture of what that would be like to be able to speak face to face with the God Almighty. And this is what I believe is the most important thing about Moses. He was a man like any other man. But he was a man who spoke to the Lord face to face. Like a friend, he had this kind of a relationship with the Almighty Sovereign God of the universe. Now, if we go back to Steve Jobs, he has an impressive list of things that he's accomplished. And it's obvious that he's impacted, millions of people in the world, I would say, in some way. I was looking on the internet, and it estimates that his net worth right now, does anybody want to guess what his net worth might be at this moment? $50 billion. Oh, that's pretty high, but good guess. $8.3 billion. There's actually some richer people. I think he's 43rd or something in the United States, so something like that. But it's still pretty high, isn't it? $8.3 billion is his estimated net worth. But you know, in reading his biography, I really didn't find a whole lot there, and I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing, but I didn't find much in there about God. It looks like he was a Hindu, from what I can tell. But I didn't see anything in there that gave me an idea of whether he had a relationship with God or not. And it was interesting to read also that when he died, it says his family was gathered around him, as happens often when people are passing from a long-term illness. They were gathered around him, and just before he died, he looked off in the distance past his family, and he said, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow." And I wondered, what did he see? What do you think he saw? I don't know what he saw. Maybe he saw God himself. Maybe he saw Jesus. We can only speculate. But I'm wondering, at that point in time, what do you want on your resume? Now, I hope Steve Jobs believed in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but the book didn't really tell me or leave me with that impression that he did. And as much as I admire Steve Jobs in the area of technology, I think I'm going to have to go with Moses on this one. He was a friend of God. Simple, but most important. To be described that way, as someone who speaks to God face to face, as a friend. And that's how Moses was described. He was a friend of God. And if we look back on Moses' life, if you remember, we went through some of these stories and back to the burning bush. You remember, God says, go, I am sending you. And Moses' reply was, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And what did God tell him? If you remember, he said, I am the Lord, and I will be with you. I will bring them out of the land. I will redeem them. I will bring them into the land I promised to your forefathers. I will give it to you as your possession. I will be with you. I am the Lord, and I will do it. Now, we know Moses argued with God at that time and gave a lot of arguments about why he should not take this really difficult assignment, which it was. But he ultimately accepted the call that God placed on his life and the promise that God gave to him. And they developed an intimate relationship. He talked face to face with God as a person speaks with their friend. And it was only out of that relationship that Moses was able to perform the miracles that he became known for, out of that relationship. And this brings me to what I believe to be one of the most telling statements about Moses. It is one of those statements that has stuck with me as I have studied, and I really was waiting for an opportunity to talk about it, and today seems a fitting day for that. It's one of those statements that I'm going to write on a card and put on my desk, or maybe stick it on the mirror, or put it somewhere where I can see it often. It's one I want you to reflect on today. And before we get to the statement, I want to give you the setting. It is soon after the Israelites have rejected God and Moses by making that golden calf and worshiping it. And if you remember, God was very angry with the Israelites, and he makes some statements to them, and we pick up the story in Exodus chapter 33. I'm just going to read a few pieces from there. Exodus 33. God tells the Israelites to leave Mount Sinai and to go up to the land that he has promised to give them. But in verse 3, he tells them something else, which is very interesting. He says, go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. I don't know, stiff-necked people, that always seems interesting to me. Seems uncomfortable, but he's saying, I'm not going to go with you because you're stubborn people. You've sinned against me. I'm afraid I'm going to have to destroy you. My holiness cannot put up with this sin. And he says, I'm not going to go with you. And if you jump down in verse 15, this is where the statement is that I'd like you to ponder today. Verse 15, Moses' response to God. He says, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses understood that this was just not about getting to the promised land. He understood that without the presence of God, nothing else really mattered. Don't even send us up from here if you aren't going to go with us. It would be crazy. It would be futile. It would be worthless. And he goes on to say in verse 16, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? How would we be any different than anyone else if you do not go with us? The primary thing that set them apart from the rest of the world was the presence of God with them. Without that, they would be no different than anyone else. And the primary thing that set Moses apart from everyone else was the presence of God with him. He knew God face to face. And my question for you this morning is, what is it that sets you apart? What is it that sets you apart as a person? What are you going to be known for? What are the things that are going to be important on your resume or when your eulogy is read to the rest of the people who are listening. What is it that sets you apart? If someone were to write your biography, what would it be about? What would make up the bulk of that biography? What would they talk about? What would be the things that they would focus in on? Do you understand, as Moses did, the crucial, foundational, life-giving, life-changing importance of the presence of God in your life? Do you understand that importance? Sure, you can go on in life without Him. But my question this morning is, what's the point? What is the point at the end of the day to go on without Him? And Moses knew that. And he said it, we are not going to go up. We are not going anywhere if you do not go with us. The only thing that matters for Steve Jobs right now is not the $8.3 billion of worth that he had when he left here. But the only thing that matters right now is whether he believed in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and had the presence of God in his life. That's it. That's what matters for Steve Jobs and for everyone. I'm going to ask you this morning if you would make this statement your own. I'd like you to make this statement your own today. For one, if you've never surrendered your life to God, if you've never believed in Jesus as your Savior and clearly given your life to Him, I want to invite you to do that today, because we're talking here about the most important thing that could represent your life, the presence of God in your life. There's nothing else that really measures up to that, even close. I invite you today, if you have never given Him your life, that you would do that. If His presence doesn't go with you, don't take another step in this life. You are free to do whatever you want. God designed it that way. He gives us a free choice. But without the presence of God, I'll tell you, life is pointless. It has no purpose or direction. Now, if you're a believer this morning, I want to remind you of a few things. For one, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you have the presence of God with you at all times. And I think this is just as amazing as Moses' face-to-face encounter with God. In Exodus 34, Scripture says that Moses' face glowed. That his face glowed from his encounters with the Lord, so much so that the Israelites were afraid to come near him, and he had to wear a veil over his face. But even so, that glow faded. And Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians that the presence of God in our lives under the new covenant is an even greater glow of glory that is not covered by a veil. And it will not fade. Let's read the scripture here. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Are you known like Moses for your face-to-face relationship with God? Is that what is most important to you right now? Is that what you're known for? That relationship? That someone would describe you that way, that they had a face-to-face relationship. And we could see that. We could see in some way the glow of God in their lives. Does our church reflect the Lord's glory? Do we have an intimate relationship with Jesus? Or, I'm wondering, has it faded in some way? We can allow it to fade. Are you walking with Him? Or are you out on a walk by yourself? and maybe you don't even know it. That most of the things you do are really out of your own ambition, out of your own strength, out of your own ideas and plans for what you're going to do with your life. Which is it? Are you going to go forward without him? Or are you going to make this statement that says, no way, not going to do it. Unless you go with me, I am not going any further. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, and this verse is directed at believers who have drifted away, who have lost focus and become distracted by the things of the world. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus desires an intimate relationship with you, face to face, as one sitting down around the table to eat a meal together. That's the kind of relationship that he wants with you and he wants with me. And I wonder if we see the value of that kind of relationship. Because when we look at Moses, that's what we see. We see someone who understood the value of that relationship. That he knew that there was nothing else that really mattered. That if he didn't go forward with the presence of God, it didn't matter. So this morning, I want to invite you to think about this statement. If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Let's bow in prayer. The rest of you want to come up and just play quietly as we pray. Like I said earlier, if you have never invited the Lord to take over your life, I ask you to do that today. And we're not talking about halfway. We're not talking about just part of your life. We're not talking about you having control and God having control. We're talking about giving control to him, surrendering your life to him. Believing in Jesus is the only way that you can be saved, the only way that you can be set free from sin, the only way that you can have eternal life. If you've never done that, I ask you to make that commitment today. If you are a believer, I'm wondering if you understand the value of your relationship, the tremendous value of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And maybe you've drifted away and maybe the glory has faded from your life. I'm encouraging you to invite Jesus to come in, just as he said here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And when we say that, we're not denying the presence of the Holy Spirit who is already in your life, but we're recognizing our great need for a more intimate relationship with God. I also invite you to pray for our church, to ask for his presence in all that we are doing, that we might not in some way step ahead of him or lag behind him, that we might not be doing things just to go through the motions of what church is about, but that we might be doing them with the presence of the Lord Almighty with us each step of the way. So as we think of the things we do, the church service, our small groups, our building project, children's ministries, youth, Our leadership team, all of those, could use our prayers in this regard, that the Lord would go with us and that we would not take a step further without His presence. So I'm going to leave a time of silence just for you to remember these things and to pray. Don't be uncomfortable. Just spend some time with the Lord and what He's speaking to you about and pray. Father, we thank You for the life of Moses, and we thank You for his example that he has given to us, his understanding of the power of Your presence in his life. And Lord, I know that all of us here have needed this reminder to refocus our eyes on You and our relationship with You, and to do whatever it is we need to do to allow You to work in our lives to the extent that You desire. To develop that intimate, close, face-to-face relationship with You. We know only out of that relationship where our lives make a difference will we be changed or make any kind of difference in the world that matters. So Lord, may we keep that first and foremost. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. One last reminder of God being with us. It makes me think of the season coming ahead and the reason why we celebrate the season. Think about it. Jesus came. It's the whole reason. God with us, Emmanuel. And so as we move into the Christmas season coming up, maybe it's a little early for you to think about it, but it's coming. So.